Okay, here we are, May the 15th, 2026. Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. Glad that you could join us today because it's a continuing saga of this gray cloak that we talk about. Hope you caught the other two. We still have them on my Facebook channel and on YouTube. So if you have a chance to see those, we're going to be continuing that whole theme of what the gray cloak is, how it's doing. We're going to give you just a very brief thing because there was a lot of content today that we want to talk about regarding this particular energy, why it's here and so on. But this show has been brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers that's been brought together. I'm in physical form to bring people that are asking a level of clarity and understanding of what's going on with them, to bring them out of their shell, to bring the truth to their existence so that they know what is really going on. And there's so many ways to be able to wake up and to raise that vibration that we have. There's always that reference is raise your vibration, raise your frequency. What does it mainly mean is just to be connected to source. That's really what it's all about. We can do it through a reading, whether you come in for a reading on your business or whether it's a private reading. Sometimes just a half an hour or an hour of clarity of what's going on in your life just wraps everything up so nicely, and that will change your vibration itself because now you're armed with clarity, the truth, rather than just guessing. Sometimes we can guess, we can do those things, but isn't it nice when it's sort of given to us and it's pretty much a level of understanding? You can't match that. As soon as you know what's going on and all that, it's great. So when we also look at a personal tuning session, many people will use a singing bowl or they'll use Reiki. I particularly don't vibrate to those because I really am drawn to tuning forks, anything frequency and sound based. Although I do have crystal bowls and gongs, and I'm getting some new solfeggio chimes coming up, and hopefully we'll have it by the next sound bath next Wednesday on May the 20th. This apparently is supposed to come in so that we can clear this gray cloak in an anti-cloak clearing frequency. Looking forward to that sound bath. So if you can make it to that, that would be wonderful. We're going to talk more about that. Basically, just go on to our site, lovehigherself.com, and go to the events column, and there you can see our next sound bath coming up. And it's transformational. Not because I said it, this is what people are saying on the receiving end. The whole thing is channeled. I never know what spirit wants to do. But in response to the people that are coming in, whether it's in person or virtual, it is wonderful. It has taken the collective consciousness of who was in the room and who was in the crowd, including the people online. And then we basically send those frequencies out to address those very things that the people are there. So whether it's 20 or 20,000, there's going to be a collective energy in there. And those are the sounds and frequencies that we are playing. We have a self-tuning class coming up. Again, look on our events calendar. That's coming up in Ottawa in person at the Rainbow Mineral Place on the just out near close to Lancaster in Ottawa. Those that want more information about that, you can click on to that particular class to get more information on there, okay? So self-tuning yourself basically is we take three tuning forks, just basics, one to clear, one to ground, and one to bring love in. And we show you how to use those in a six-hour class so that you can tune yourself every day to keep this vibration high. You can make it as part of a meditation. You could just have it in your car whenever you have that clearing fork or love fork and you're in traffic. Rather than getting frustrated, you tap these babies and it really helps your energy. It really helps you focus and keep everything in the still. If you want to be more into the sound therapy industry, okay, we also have certified classes that you could join. And those are basically, there's more tuning forks involved because there's more things that when people are coming to you for various issues in their life, various patterns that they want to break and they want to change, these frequencies can do that. This is what also that we can teach. And we like to teach them in person, but oftentimes we find that they're all over the world. So we do offer virtual classes as well. And they're just as good. We have multiple cameras so you can see it as if you were here. Okay. We also have a podcast channel. Now, these types of shows that we do every Friday, over time, we put them into podcast form so that they are sent out so you could listen to them while you're at the cottage or you're walking through the woods and you just want to have that clarity of what's going on. And then there's a meditation at the end, okay? We're also, if you punch in Raising Your Spirits with Tony, you'll be able to find that on Apple, Spotify, and about 15 other platforms, okay? The same goes with our YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony, and then you'll find us. We also have many videos there from past classes and things in video form that you can also draw from, all right? And all this goes into a membership, like from these types of classes that are live. If you can join, that'd be great in case you miss a class. Or if want to get the extra content, because this continues for our VIPs about another 20 minutes or so afterwards, you want to get that additional content, you can certainly do that. It works at like $5 extra a month, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to have this in your email box when you come home or if you're working at this time. Soma Energetics is a place that we get all our tuning forks from. We get everything done. They have awesome tools, SomaEnergetics.com, and we are all the main trainer and instructor on that platform, and it's worldwide. We do have classes coming up at the end of this month, so check out those classes if you have a chance on our calendar. So today's color is, again, white. This is our third part that we're working with regarding the gray cloak. The theme today is connecting to the truth, connecting to what's really authentic, what's really going on. And just a quick recap of what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. I can't get into a lot of detail because I want to spend most of my time or the time that's available on a newer content. But basically, a gray cloak is an energetic fabric of energy that's cloaked on us to basically not sense the light that is coming in. Due to May is a very massive month. If you talk to any light worker, they can tell you that there's this incredible intense light. It's like nothing that's ever been like this. The cosmos and other energies were waiting for our Earth collective consciousness to get to a certain level, because when this light comes in, it's going to start waking up and turning on a few of the DNA codes that we've talked about that's going to be very pivotal to our ascension. It doesn't mean we're going to be going anywhere, but it just means that we're going to be breaking out of a certain system that kept us in control, that kept us to obey, that kept us in a sense that there's others at play that they know exactly how you're going to behave in various factors. And this light coming in is going to wake everything up. In response to that, there's this gray cloak. It's almost your same energy, but it's a little bit different. It just twists something just a little bit to the side, and it brings in a state of doubt, self-doubt, fear, anger, irritation, just different energies that way. They're so subtle. It's like you don't even know that it's a thing. It's bringing in the reaction if you hear something on the news that is catastrophic, whether there's discord in a certain country or you see some people doing some things that are just very odd. It's all about sensationalism, and it's all about bringing all of the, and this is what Spirit is saying, the manufactured chaos so we don't detect it. And this cloak is like that. As soon as you become in this higher vibration, any kind of manufactured chaos, right away you'll see it. He says, oh, that can't even be real. And then when you look into it, it isn't. So what creates that suspicion is the fact that you're not in that cloak. And that cloak comes upon us several times a day. And other classes will give more information about that. The first one is probably the best one. But that's basically what it is. And those that's been following, we're going to be talking about a couple of extra techniques today on how to transmute and slightly remove these cloaks every time that we focus on them. Okay, we're going to give you and share a few ideas and tips on how to do that. We recently had a class on this. It was our mini workshop, and we had a lot happening there. But that was like an hour and a half class, so we won't be doing that today. However, we will be talking a little bit about today regarding voices. Voices in our energy are very key. Why are they really important? Because when we hear voices from our loved ones, from the people that we respect, we hear criticism or advice, or they want to chat, or they want to share something, we tend to listen. All right. Now, depending on the history of how you got along with your parents and other family members will be the level of impact that you will have based on what you went through. So if you had a really good relationship with them and you really highly respect other people's in your family, their criticism or their comments or maybe some suggestions, then this is what that gray cloak is now targeting. It's been targeting family and others for quite some time, but it's amping up more because there's now a resistance of some of the other things we've already talked about regarding irritation and the news and social media and stuff. And people are starting to see the various ways that the manipulation is happening. But to our loved ones, we don't even think that it's a thing. We know and we respond to however way your family has treated you. Now, if you haven't had a very positive childhood, then that will detect a little bit about how you're going to react. But here's the thing. Even if the relationship was not good, the fact that they even say anything will bring up that irritation. You see what I mean? You don't always have to respect your parents or respect your uncles or your aunts or all these people. Just the fact that they just talk is, to some people, an irritation right away. And that's where this gray cloak is going to start poking them so it can poke you. They're not targeting them. They're targeting you because they know you have a trigger to these people. And this is where we're kindly suggesting that we need to start addressing these triggers. What's a trigger? Well, it's a little bit like a light switch. If you walk into a room, you'd never really go where the light bulb is in the room to fiddle around something with there to turn the light on. Usually there's a switch on a wall or a dimmer switch or something that you walk into a room, you click it, and the light goes on. So where the switch is usually a very different place than where the light is. So that's a trigger. So in other words, something that's is over here that's bothering you is triggering something else. Something in your memory, something that someone could say something in a family, and I've seen it. They've said something in a family gathering like 10 years ago. The altercation or the situation amped up. Something that would last literally 5 minutes, maybe not even that. And they don't speak to each other for 10 years. All right. So what somebody would have said something or done something or said something to the other person that was insulting or that they just can't take it. And those are the people that this energy is targeting. Something that will trigger you. All right. So on and on that story goes. So we're not here to bring up those memories and those triggers. Spirit is kindly suggesting that if something is still triggering you and it's intense, it means it's still an open wound. Now, we chatted about what the open wound was in the last class, the difference between an open wound and a scar. An open wound, as soon as you touch it, there's any kind of focus on that, it hurts. This is really hurtful. But a scar is where the wound used to be. And you could definitely tap it, and there's no pain. Well, that's because your body has created enough healing, has disconnected a lot of the nerve endings that didn't need to be there anymore, and flowed over a level of skin and a level of other cells in your body that covered the open wound, and now it is just like new. But there's a scar. Usually, if it's a deep enough, there's going to be some form of a scar. Now, you already know that if that hurt had a lot of anger in it, and there was, then the scar will be more pronounced. The way that something will heal is directly linked to how the scar is going to shape. If you cut yourself and you say, oh, that's okay, I know what I did wasn't probably the most clever thing to do, but you know, I'm learning. And as it's healing, you are in a happier place. You are in a more fluent place. The scar will be very, very small if you can see it at all. You have to almost point to it. Oh yeah, there it is. But I've seen some scars that are just the same type or the same size as what the wound used to be in some people. So as we look at the scars in that way, Spirit is suggesting to you to address those emotional scars that you can't see, that still triggers you after all these years. You gotta drop it. Whatever was said or whatever was done, it's those energies now that are going to bring that up. It's almost like excavating these old wounds, because they want these wounds up so that you can become angry and spiteful or whatever reaction that you were getting before. It's all about bringing out the truth about all of this to try and find out what the real thing is. So it's targeting parents. It's targeting uncles and aunts and, you know, close relatives that way, but mainly parents, because they have the experience of youth and they had a different certain reaction to how people were criticizing you. Your parents had that. The energies behind the cloak will always target parents or guardians. If your parents weren't in the picture, but a guardian raised you, then they're going to be tapping the shoulder of these guardians as well to give you little pieces of advice of how you're handling and how you are managing life. One of the things, one of the strategies about this is that there are light comments. They're very subtle. But somehow there's a gentle awkwardness in all of this. One example might be they might ask you, so Jane or whoever, are you happy? I know I'm seeing all the things that you're doing, but are you happy? And then your response might be, oh yes, I'm very happy. Really? Really? You're happy with your life? Okay, well, whatever floats your boat. So in other words, there was no direct criticism, but you could see and detect a level of, condescension, something condescending. It's not a direct hit, but it's almost like it was phrased in such a way that it created some level of doubt. Not that you were even looking for their approval in whatever that they were doing, but it's just a very weird conversation. And it could be just like a few seconds long. Like, how long did that take? 15 seconds, if the whole thing? And that would have you walk away thinking, why would she ask that? So what Spirit is saying on this side of the light is that don't ask those questions. Because something triggered this person to say it that way. To say it in a way that created some doubt. Why would this person, this human, say that to me, knowing all that I've been through? Maybe they were there for the birth of your child, were there for you when you got divorced, and you had no place else to go, and they took you in. So with all the things that they've done for me, which was very positive, why would this person say that? And that's the point, because that spirit, that energy, has gotten into them, and there was something tickling them, and it just came out of their mouth. It's almost like an inverted channeling. I don't know if there's such a thing, but that's the way that Spirit is showing me. Channeling is when Spirit is coming out and saying something that's positive to a person that is from Spirit, so it doesn't go through the mind. But the same thing would happen that wants to sort of indirectly make it awkward, make it very, why would they say that? And it just comes out of their mouth. And if you ask them after, he says, yeah, why would you say that, Grandma? Or why would you say that, Mom or Dad? I don't know. It just came out of my mouth. So in other words, it's not them. It's not them. Something that they have done, perhaps, that brought it in, whether it's a level of fear or lack, we don't have enough money. And that energy gets in because they're in the seaweed of energy. Any doubts about something, you know, they could be in retirement or maybe they have some second doubts about their health and they feel a little vulnerable. Boom, that's how that energy gets in, because now they're in the seaweed and they're kind of susceptible to all the energies in that environment, right? So once it gets in, it waits and waits until you come along. And then it just waits for the right moment. Okay, we're going to say this because I know this is going to get them. And they're going to wonder, why would they say that? All right? It has a level of intelligence. That's what we keep mentioning and want you to sort of appreciate, that this energy does have that intelligence. It is not them that is saying it, but it's them that uses their body, their vocal cords to come through. And they don't even know that they just said that thing. Something about parents, because I wanted Spirit to, because that's what I asked for. I says, is there a poem or is there a quote or is there some form of thing about parents that might bring something to light regarding the doubt that they may have later in life? You know, a lot of parents will go through that where they've given so much of themselves while you were growing up. And some of these were unsung or unseen. Okay, so I wanted something that would kind of go to the parents to give a level of, let's just say, clarity of what those parents went through in raising you. Okay, and within a few minutes, they ended up with this that I was pointed to. The quote goes like this: we are living in a time where it is fashionable to blame our parents for how we are. We dissect, diagnose, to explain ourselves to their failures. We learn to critique our elders without learning how to honor them. We speak fluently about our trauma, but rarely about their sacrifice. We analyze their emotional limitations from the comfort of our vocabulary now, that they never had access to. Many of our fathers were not taught to feel. They were taught to endure. Many of our mothers were not taught to process. They were taught to survive and nurture family. And their survival built the ground that you are standing on. Reverence and forgiveness does not mean blindness. It does not mean excusing them of harm they might have done to you. It means remembering the context in which they were in. You are not self-made. You are inherited. You have inherited resilience. You have inherited endurance. Inherited imperfect love. And one day, you will be that imperfect elder. And the next generation will see your blind spots clearly from their level of comfort in their vocabulary. The question is, will they remember what you have built or tried to build? A culture that forgets its ancestors is not becoming enlightened. They're becoming unanchored. That was an interesting take on how our parents raised us. Now, some parents did very well. Many parents did not. When we compare it to the how others are treated, okay? And whatever your story was, it was all in some way because you knew coming into this life you were going to be with these parents, and you specifically chose them without any doubt because they were going to be the highest of learning for you. Whether it's the parents that had you biologically and then later you went to an adoptive parents, it doesn't matter, because you knew that there was going to be a change of ownership at whatever age, so that that level of adoption would still be the people that took care of you as if you are their daughter or their son. Some people have a lot of problem with that. They always go to the why. Why did mom or why did dad give me up for adoption? That's not the question. The question is, who have you become with the people that raised you? Because essentially, they were targeted not to have children for some reason. And that was the gateway for you to come in. And we hear of a lot of stories where as soon as there's an adoption, because a couple, for whatever reason, can't have children. And then once they adopt this wonderful child, they just drop everything. They go about their life, and lo and behold, they're pregnant. Because the guards came down. So you had the gateway for that parent or that guardian or that foster parent to take care of you, to be able for you to be able to go through and be taken care of. And it opened up the family for a whole different potential. Okay, every generation has given something that you can make yourself stronger. Many see this as a trauma or a curse. Some people see that the way that they were treated was a curse. Now, I'm not saying that what happened to you was great. I'm not saying that what happened to you was nice or was appropriate. That isn't really the question. The question is, here you are. You've survived. What strength did that take for you to get to this far? And realizing that by looking backwards, like driving a car, only looking at the rearview mirror, how certain are you going to go forwards if you spend most of your time looking in the rearview mirror? You're going to tend to go slower. You're going to tend to be more cautious. And you're going to tend to always be deceived because you're not seeing what's coming in front of you right now. So is that, I'm not saying it is, you can ask yourself the question, is this making me more that I am living in the present right now rather than constantly looking at changing my past? Because that's what forgiveness means, is that the total release and the total giving up of wishing for a better past. That's forgiveness in another way. I heard of a story where a group of students in a university wanted to find out, because they looked at various trees that were not doing so well. You know, they around their homes, there were a lot of trees rotting. You see some of the trees, they're split, or they hit by lightning, or eaten by bugs, or there's always something with trees that was always bringing them down. And it's like the middle part of the tree is rotten because, you know, either bugs got in there or they were just treated or high winds or whatever. And they figured, let's do an experiment on making the perfect tree. Let's do a perfect tree. So in a controlled environment, they set it up where they planted 100 trees inside a massive warehouse where there's lots of light, and they had everything programmed where they get the right amount of water, no bugs, and it was just perfect. And they recorded the stage of the growth of these trees to be much faster than what was in the wild. And they said, hey, I think we are onto something. And then it got to a certain point after a while that because of their growth, all of them in time fell. They all fell. They all fell in the center was almost hollow. They couldn't understand. Well, what's with this? Because it looks so strong on the outside. But yet, when it hit a certain weight and a certain height, it just cracked and fell down. They couldn't understand it until somebody said, well, hold it now. See, one thing we replicated is the sun. We replicated all the nutrients and fertilizer and the water and everything, but we never replicated the wind. We never replicated high winds or all these other things that the tree faces in real life, in nature. And then when they looked into that, they realized that the wind itself, because it's blowing the tree to one side, the tree realizes that it has to be able to be stable in the ground, it has to grow additional roots and additional strength and extra bark and all these other things to make it strong on that side. So it gets stronger with the wind. And although the other trees grew faster, they had no substance. It fell. Spirit is just sort of asking you to ask yourself, perhaps your parents were the wind. They were the ones that pushed you into a point where you had to self-regulate yourself to make yourself stronger. Because you are not a weak person. If you're still alive now, trust me, you are a strong person. You would have fallen years ago if you weren't strong. Now, there may be animosity, there may be some ill feelings about what happened and whatever happened, but you're still here. Somehow, and I hear this from clients, I just had one last week that she said, I think I attempted to take my life a dozen times and always something happened that I came back. And I don't know what, there's no strength there. I just don't know what to do. And then realizing that when in doing that, they're blaming the past so much that there's no strength there. But the moment they focus on where they are today, the moment they focus on the fact that they survived all these things, maybe there's a reason why Spirit brought me back all those times. Number one, and I'm going by experience here, they usually say, we're not ready to have you back. We love you, but you're not done. You still have a few things on your shopping list that you promised you were going to do, so we're sending you back. And number two is maybe your purpose is more than just surviving. Maybe it's doing something and using the wind and all the incredible obstacles that you've had over the years to be able to do this. Now, this comes back to the gray cloak, because what the gray cloak wants is just to cover you so that you're protected, so that, first of all, you don't see this intense light and then you're not connected to that. But they want you feeling like you're weak, like you can't take the wind, or you are shy not to take anything on that's going to be difficult. And that's exactly the point. None of you want a free ride. All you want to do is just to be able to do what you want to do and have clarity that this is the way to do it. Most times when clarity comes in, we realize, oh, that's why that happened. Oh, that's why that happened. Number of times I just about went over my car and went into a ravine, but somehow it didn't go over and my life was spared. When you start seeing that over and over again, where you just don't think you're making a big enough impact on this world and you just want to leave, this is where Spirit says, you know, you're stronger than you think. That's why we're sending you back, because we're so focused on the past. We're so focused on getting justice rather than thinking maybe this is the wind, the exact wind we're looking for. So how is the wind, instead of toppling your boat, to be able to put the sails out so you could use the wind to perpetuate forward? In other words, using the trauma, using all these things that has happened to you in a positive way. And that's exactly what the gray cloak doesn't want you to connect to. They want you to think that your past is where you need to be, and you got to have justice. You got to have your say, all right? And the Spirit says, face it. And the moment you face it, and it's right now, everything falls. Everything falls because you realize that you're still here. This lady that I talked to last week, an incredible lady, absolutely incredible. And it's not my place to say what something happened was appropriate or not, or you have injustice. I think we all do. Somebody once said in a guest speaking course that the only person that has not had any trauma and there is the ones that are not here because they just didn't want to go any further. But whatever is happening is to use whatever your past is to be able to do this. And that's when you want to take off this cloak, to be able to use it to perpetuate yourself forward. The other part of this is that when your parents or siblings, even siblings are a good one, you're going to start to see little digs, little family reunions, picnic, barbecues, coming together. Maybe the way that your kids are behaving. Oh, why are they doing that? Oh, you should teach them better. You know, I'm not saying anything about your kids, but, you know, like my kids are really well behaved. Oh, my God. You know, there's so much to that, right? And just realize that there's an energy in them that is sending this out, and they don't even know the impact of what they're saying is actually hurting. I just want you to sort of chalk this up in May that the energy has gotten to them because they don't want them. That energy wants you. It knows that you are going to react in a very indignant way. And then if you can just take a nice deep breath and just say, okay, there it is. There's the strategy. This is another technique that we have taught you, that as soon as you see the strategy, oh, there it is. I got you. Nice try. Now, you're saying this in your head, of course. You don't want to be talking like that in front of people. They're going to wonder, really, if there's something wrong. But you just say this to yourself. There it is. Okay. Nice try. Very clever, but I caught it. So that means I'm more clever because I detected my own thinking. Thank you. And then your energy comes down. And then, so in other words, the siblings, the nieces, nephews, all these people around you are going to be targeting you, saying things, doing things in front of you that is absolutely inappropriate. Okay? You know, buying guns for a two-year-old. You might say, oh my God, you couldn't have chosen a little better gift. Well, that was the point, because they know that that's a trigger for you. So they'll buy an Uzi or something like that in a water squirter, which is okay. But it's just, sometimes it's the intent that if it knows that that's bothering you, that's what's going to happen. So as soon as you see it, there it is. Then you don't look at it as why they did that or what was the context. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. It just matters that it wants you pissed. It wants you upset. It wants you to react. And all you need to do is just take a nice deep breath. There it is. In your head. Because once you are focused on the strategy, that will almost invalidate the fact that they did it. All right? So we're not going to go further in. But when we go further than that, the Spirit says, regarding the voices, just getting back to the voices of your teachers, of your coaches, of your other guardians, of neighbors, voices of your favorite podcaster, voices of somebody that you respect. It could be a news anchor or somebody that when they talk, oh, this person is really knowledgeable. I respect what they say. We all have people like that. We all have celebrities that we highly respect. That's very smart. That's very connected. And when we look at it that way, they're going to do the same thing, okay? It'll be almost hypnotic, Spirit is saying. It'll make you feel like you're activated, that you feel like you have the strength now to fight something, and that's your cue. If there is any kind of a, let's get out there and just fight this anti, whatever. Like, it could be, let's say, an anti-poverty speech or something to do with our environment, people throwing garbage in the ocean. Let's fight. In other words, if they rile you up to fight something, you know that's fake. That's all fake. Because there is, by fighting it, it just means that it brings up that animosity even further, which actually increases whatever it is that you have the cause about. Because the war on crime, the war on drugs, the war on all these things are all wars that are increasing because we're fighting it. But when we step back and we just watch it, it peters out because it needs human involvement for it to grow. Did you hear that? It needs human involvement for it to expand. As soon as the human involvement is gone, it just peters out like a sunshine on a fog. It just disappears. Negative energy has to have human negative thoughts for it to perpetuate. The only thing that it is not like that is love. You don't need humans to love for love to grow. Love will grow naturally whether you're there or not. Of course, it works better when you have love and then you spread it and you spread the giving, yes. But it's not necessarily what it needs. It doesn't need humans. Way before you were here, love was here. Through animals and through the love and everything blossoming. That's all love. Nature is love. It's the frequency of love. It's the 528 and other frequencies. All right? So genuine teachers, genuine keynote speakers, and that will always leave you in a sense of silence. In other words, there's going to be some self-reflection here. Ask yourself, if you want more money, does money feel comfortable being in your home if it was a person? How are you treating money? Well, yeah, as soon as I get money, I'm grabbing it, hoarding it. I don't want to spend it because I don't get much. Well, what would happen if you treated a visitor like that? Hi, how you doing, Cindy? Just thought I'd drop in to say hi. Oh, good. Stay here for at least a weekend because I don't want you to go and, like, it'll terrify that person. They may never come again, right? It's all about, oh, great, I'm glad you could come. Oh, super, can I get you something? Did you bring your friends? Because you could bring friends. And money's like that. Oh, it's a $100 bill. I hope you brought friends. Oh, that's great. Another 10,000 of those are coming. So in other words, treat people and resources the same way. If you are treating money the way you would treat a person, would money stay in your home? So those are type of guest speakers that make you feel like you're reflecting. There's no fighting. There's no motivation. There's no pep talk. There's no, let's go out there and do this. And it's a pep talk. And within 2 weeks, all that energy fizzles out to nothing. Genuine teachers will make you look and make you think. And he says, oh, yeah, I can improve myself here. And I can improve myself there. And I can improve here and there. And it's all very gentle. And none of it is suggestive that you're doing something wrong. It's just always asking the question, how is your flow in your body? Do you feel like everything just comes to you? Do you feel this natural tendency that everything just comes? Okay. Another part of this is, do you feel that when you hear a voice, that there's a hook? Now, this voice will usually say something like, let's get together and clean up the ocean. Let's do this. This is a great cause. And all you have to do is just simply do this and that. And this has something to do with giving something up to be able to get a reward. In other words, there's always a hook. So when you get a trusted voice saying, you can so do this, all you have to do is just stop meditating. All you have to do is just stop connecting to yourself. Go to where there's a lot of noise and bring a lot of things into your home, and then you'll get this. In other words, there are so many different ways, and Spirit is sort of resisting giving too many examples because people then get hooked on the examples. They would rather have you look at the principle of whatever that voice is asking you to do, is that there's always a cost. You have to give this up. As long as you're giving up something that's hurting you, like, yes, I mean, you're going to improve your life if you just stop saying to yourself that you're a loser. That's different. But what if they say, for this to happen, you need to stop? It was actually a therapist that said, so you're not getting along with your mom? No, I'm not. So then just don't go to her. Just cut your ties off and don't visit your mom. Because every time you do, there's always an argument, there's always discord, yelling and screaming. And so just get yourself in the level of peace and don't address it. So in order for you to have peace, you have to give something up. That's a good example because there's a cut tie. And it's not to say that we don't want peace. But by cutting the tie, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't solve the issue. Maybe a degree of understanding of why your mom at this age, at this point in her life, is still angry. Maybe you need to get together, daughter to mother, son to mother, and say, okay, mom, what's really going on? What's going on? Are you mad about something? Because every time I bring up something, you get angry. What's going on? Oh, nothing. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to do anything about it. I just want to be left alone. I understand. So something is bothering you. So let's talk. I mean, I'm here. I mean, outgoing. I have time, you know? So in other words, in time, when they feel heard, maybe they just are feeling regretful of the way they brought you up. Maybe they feel like all those years that they were hard on you, it's now catching up, realizing that their mortality is very apparent because a good friend of theirs have the same energy and they passed away. And now they're seeing, well, if I pass away, what kind of legacy am I leaving my kids? So there's regret. Maybe that needs to be talked to, lifted up, and it's that connection. So in other words, to be able to do something, it costs something to do it. So these are areas that will feel like, no, this is not something that I'm trusting. It's always, the spirit is always open. It's always very interactive, and they always want you connected to the people you love or the people that are connected to you. Good friends, best friends, soul sisters, soul brothers. If there's something going on and the energy says sever that because of whatever the lack of peace is, then you have to decide whether or not that's going to resonate with you. Okay, just real quick here. We're just getting close to the meditation. I want to give a very quick anti-gray clearing technique today. So there's, out of the ones I have here, I'm going to give you the best one because of the lack of time. Okay, what Spirit is saying is they want you to put your hands together like in the mudra. This is called the Hikini Mudra, where all your fingertips are touching. It's like a prayer, but your palms aren't touching. Okay, so it's just kind of resting on there, thumbs on thumbs, and all your fingers are together. And so what they're saying is now that you've created a circuit, your left is usually your negative and your right is your positive. And so when you put it together, you've got a complete circuit. If this was an electrical circuit, you're just completed that cycle. All right. So what Spirit is saying is, in a meditation, let's say with the one that's coming up, you could actually use this one and see how it works. They want you to see a spark of light in your heart, okay, in your heart chakra. So the middle of your chest, just bring out this little spark, a little piece of light, okay, a little light, and it's constant. Like a spark is like it comes and then it goes, right? But when the spark opens, I want you to sort of freeze that and just have that light where it's a nice light right at your heart. It doesn't have to be very big, but it's white. Okay? So I want you to see this white spark that's sort of frozen in time. All right? And it's in your heart. Then I want you to bring that light, as your hands are together, bring that light to your shoulders on the right side. Bring it down your right arm to your right fingers. And since your hands are connected, it goes from your right hand over to your left because now you're connected. Then the light comes down your left, over, and then back to your heart. Okay? So that's sort of a circle. Now they want you to do it a little faster. So the light comes down, your right arm connected, down to your left, and then back. And then during the 10 minutes or however long the meditation is, they want you to speed that up faster and faster and faster, and speed it up to the speed it will be so there's an actual white ring. It goes so fast. Does this make sense? So it goes so fast, it's almost like putting the, you know, where they put on the, in a tire of a car, they got this little cap so it keeps the air in the valve. Let's say that was light. And then you go with your car, and then it's almost like a ring of light because it's going so fast. So that kind of thing around, and then just do that. And at the same time, you're releasing this cloak, this energy off you in that situation, okay? We're going to play the aura clearing meditation, and it has drums in it, so it's perfect, okay? So I want you to take a nice deep breath of this white light. Put a little bit of that light in your heart. Put your hands together in this Hikini movement. And then just keep breathing and make this a very slow. It doesn't have to go turbo right away. So just start off very small, okay? And because you got a good, almost 12 minutes. There's lots of time for this to really speed up, all right? But the important thing here is to see the movement of light. And what that will do, it will slowly start to take this cloak off you. Let's see how that works from this, okay? Let's take a nice deep breath, and we'll see you in a bit. keep your hands together if you can. And detect if it's vibrating. Is it warm? Is it cold? What are your hands going through? Did your whole body change? Yes. Just take a quick observation. The energy was mostly around your aura, mostly around this field. That's where that energy is, that gray cloak. See if you feel anything burning off. See if you feel anything different. On our sound bath on May 20th, we're going to be displaying and we're going to be playing anti-gray cloak frequencies. So that would be a good time if you are able to come in on that time. That would be wonderful. Go to lovehigherself.com under the events category and check it out. See if something like that would be of benefit to you. No matter where you are in the world, you can come online if you wish. Okay, we'd love to have you. And until next week, know that you matter. Your significance, they're saying, is quite vast. And that's exactly why this energy is around you. It's not around people that there's no danger. It's only around the warriors that can actually get things done. Until next week, people, stay safe. Love you all.